Begin the current daf, Maseches Baba Kama, daf Ayin Dalet. Begin on the last word on daf Ayin Gimel Mabez, where Abaye continues the discussion that was introduced by Rava on the previous daf. Rava said the following halacha. He said, Edim Shehuk Cheshu, witnesses that were already contradicted by another set of witnesses, which means to say that they have no validity in court, but Ula B'Sayv Huzmu, and then after they were contradicted, then actually more than that, a different set of witnesses came and said, wait a second, forget about that you say that he did this, and they said that he didn't do this. But moreover, how could you say what you're trying to say? You with us on that day, which is Hazama, says Rava, Neharagin, they do get killed. In other words, if they said that this guy murdered someone, and someone else and a different pair said they didn't, so they're not going to be, that person is not going to be, the defendant is not going to be executed, because it's two against two and they're neutralized. But moreover, now that they're being Huzam, even though their halacha wouldn't have worked, anyway, they're going to get executed for Hazama. The reason being, Rava says, because HaKrash is Tchilas Hazamahi. It just wasn't finished. And that is, it's the beginning of their contradiction. That's what Hazama, part of Hazama is. Besides saying you're with us, obviously what you're saying is not true. And therefore, Hazama will work. Now, Rava brought a proof from a Braisa. The Braisa is what's being discussed about what is the case of the Braisa. The Braisa said, there's two parts. And the Gemara on Ardaf is going to quote the Seifa, but the Reisha, which was discussed originally, is that when a set of witnesses say regarding a certain individual that he blinded the eye of a slave and he knocked out his tooth, and moreover say this pair of witnesses and the master says this too, he's agreeable to what we're saying. And then it turns out that set of witnesses were Zeymin, they were lying, they weren't even there on that day. Says the Braisa, they have to pay the value of the eye to the slave. So the Rava said, what's this case of this Braisa talking about? If you read it as it literally as it sounds like, where there was no other set of witnesses besides them, and then they were just Huzam, then why would they be paying the value of the eye to the slave? What do you mean? They let him free. Without them, he wouldn't have been freed. No one testified anything that his master ever hit him in the first place. Moreover, then they would have to actually pay the value of the entire slave to the master, because they're the ones freeing the slave. So why are they just paying the value of the eye to the slave? And moreover, what are they saying that, oh, Harav Imerkin, and actually the master is agreeable. What, he's agreeable? What do you mean? Without them, his slave would never have been freed. So rather, proved Rava must be the case of Toman as follows, where there was a set of witnesses that said that the master knocked out the slave's tooth, and then he blinded his eye, where that would require that the master would, first of all, have to free him, but moreover, is that after he's knocked out his tooth and he's a free man, he would have to compensate him for his eye. Now, then, that's the setting the stage beforehand, and that's what the Bryce is talking about. And then comes a middle set of witnesses, which is the one that the Bryce is discussing, who they say, no. First he blinded his eye, and then he knocked out his teeth. Where, according to their version, the master's only going to have to pay the value of the teeth. Which, that makes sense why the Harav Leimerkain, he's agreeable more to that way, because although he knows either way he's losing his slave, but at least he's only going to have to compensate for teeth, which is much less value than the loss of the sight of an eye. Now, in that case description, the middle pair of witnesses are already hukhish, they're already contradicted by the first pair of witnesses. Now, there, the says Rava, you see, the Braisa says that they could become Zaymimin. And moreover, that no, not only could they become Zaymin, they say that they're going to have to pay the value of the eye to the slave. And that answers all the other questions according to the way the Rava is describing it. Because, yeah, the master is agreeable. Why is he agreeable? Because he's not losing his slave from them. He already lost his slave from the first set of witnesses. And moreover, he's agreeable because now, according to the second witness's versions, he's only going to have to pay the value of the teeth, not of the eyes. But one thing that we see, and that's why they don't have to pay the value of the slave to the master, because although they were lying, they were huzim, but they weren't causing the loss of the slave. Anyways, he was losing the slave. But Rava proves one thing, that Shema Menah Kshashat Chil Sazamahi. Obviously, even though they're already contradicted by the first set of witnesses, so either way, what they're saying would not have any validity, still, when they're ultimately huzim by a third set of witnesses, you see they have to compensate the slave for the value of the eye, which they were making him lose based on their testimony, because they said no. It's not the eye that was second, it was the teeth. But it's not really true. It really was the eye. So you see what they tried doing to the slave, they have to pay back. But one thing you see that even though it was already hakasha, still they'll have to have hazama because hakasha is chil hazama. And that Abaye said no. Actually, there's only two sets of witnesses. I mean, not three the way Rava described it. Meaning if it would be like the way Rava said it, that it was before this case, this set of witnesses that the Braisa told him, there was a set of witnesses beforehand, and actually, since they would have been hukkash already, there would not have been Hazama. Rather, the case that's being discussed over here is that there was this one set of witnesses who they were caught lying by a different set of witnesses that were mazim them. But besides being mazim them, they were also what's called the afchinu. They said to the first pair of witnesses, wait a second. That day that you're claiming that you saw this, you couldn't have seen the master knock out his tooth and blind his eye, because that day you were with us. So you guys are lying, you're huzim. Whatever you tried making them lose, you got to pay. Now, additionally, besides saying that, besides doing hazama, they also say, look, we know that something happened, but it was on a different day. And it was actually the reverse order than the way you said it. So again, either way you look at it, the slave's going to be going free, even according to the ones that are mazim, meaning according to the last pair of witnesses. So the only difference is that the first set of witnesses wanted to make a loss for the slave, because they said first it was the eye and then it was the teeth. But the ones who were mazim them said, wait a second, it's not true. First of all, you weren't there that day. Moreover, it actually was the other way around. It's actually teeth first and then eye. So the first set of witnesses wanted to make the Eved lose the value of the difference between the eye and the teeth. That's how much they have to pay him. And that was the way Abai says, that's the way the case of the price is told. And therefore, there's no raya to Rava, because there was no hakasha here at all. It was only hazama. It's just that to answer all the questions, it's the second pair of witnesses who are the ones that are mazim, the first ones who become Eidim Zayim, and they're the ones that agree that, of course, there was the slave going free. The only thing that they disagree is regarding the order. Now, and Rashi points out, which will be shortly addressed, if you're going to ask, that since we're saying, not like Rava, that there's only two sets of witnesses, not three. In other words, there's the one who are lying and the ones who catch them lying, the ones who are Zayim and the ones that are mazim them. So then, what type of a loss are they causing to the slave? What do you mean? As that was one of the Gemara's questions. If not for this one set of witnesses, then he would not have gone free. So why are they paying him something to compensate him? And moreover, they should have to pay the entire value of the slave to the master, because they're the only set of witnesses. So the Gemara is going to shortly ask that, and the Gemara is going to explain this to him on Bisha'amad Bedin, meaning that it was already a court case, and there was already this liability, and that was already confirmed. It's just that then there's this witnesses who say, confirming it, and they say it in one order, which then the other pair of witnesses say, how could you have said that you weren't even there? Moreover, it was a different order, so therefore, they're not the ones that are making the loss for the master, and that's why we don't have to pay him for the demay, however, at all. It's just regarding the difference of the order, which would be a loss for the slave. So again, that was Abaye's response to Rava. And that's where Agamor continues and says, Mimai. Abaye says, how do I know this? How do I know? Because simply, it sounds more logical the way Rava says it, that there was three pairs of witnesses. Abaye, who wants to say, no, could be it was two pairs, and it was Afchinu v'Azminu, says, how do I know that really that there's only two sets of witnesses, and therefore no right to Rava's halacha v'chashat t'chil sazama. So as we continue, at the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, he says, Abaye, in the Seifa, I know from the end of the Braisa, which obviously is talking about only two sets of witnesses, not three, which is B'mepech v'Hazama, that second pair of witnesses, A, they switch around the order, and they're mazim the first pair of witnesses. So Reishanami B'mepech v'Hazama, therefore I could tell you the way I just described it, that the Reisha's halach is also talking about that there's only two sets of witnesses. But then how do we answer all those questions about, so then why isn't he paying for the value of the whole entire slave for the masters? Because even the other set of witnesses agree to it. It's just that there wasn't a first pair, then they were the second, and then the third is mazim them. No, it's actually that the second pair that are mazim them does two things, two functionalities. A, they're mazim them, and also that they switch around the order. Now Rashi points out the reason why Abaye had to say that the halacha of the reisha, how do I know it's by two, the way he's refuting Rava, because I know it from the Seifa, is because, as we just alluded to previously, the Reisha is not so agreeable to say that it's talking about just two sets of witnesses. It makes more sense, like Rava, that there was three sets of witnesses, because the words of the Braisa are, Shahareh HaRav Oymerkein. The witnesses that we just described in that Braisa is because, and the Master even says like this. Now, if there were no other witnesses that had come before them saying the opposite of them, then the master would not be agreeable and preferable on what they're coming to say, because they're the first ones saying to free the slave. Now, obviously, the way Abaye describes it is that at the end he's agreeable. It comes out retroactive because of the second pair of witnesses who are anyways verifying the fact that he's going free. But again, according to the simplest translation, it makes more sense like Rava. So, but what Abaye is saying, but however, from the fact that I'll prove to you, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote from the Seifa, that it's talking about only two sets of witnesses, so obviously it must be talking about, by this type of case, of Mepech Vahazama, so therefore I could tell you that the Reisha is also talking about Mepech Vahazama, and therefore that would explain the Halacha of the Reisha, but that's why Abaye has to prove it from the Seifa, because really, the most simplest way sounds more logical, like Rava, that's why Harav Eimer came, because of course he's agreeable to what I'm saying, because the first pair of witnesses had already said he's going free, and he actually said the way they'll have to pay even more than what I'm saying. So therefore, that's why Abaye has to prove it, Diktani Seifa, as we learned in the Seifa. Now the Seifa is the same as the case of the Reisha, just in the reverse, meaning in regards to the order, that regarding what which one happened first. So this pair of witnesses say, Meidanu as Ish Plaini, we say testimony regarding this man, Shehipal as Shein Abdoi, Vesim as Einai. The other order. That the witnesses say that he first knocked at his teeth, and then he blinded his eye. And they say, moreover, Shehari Ha'evadim became. And actually the slave says the same thing, meaning because it's preferable for him that A, first of all, he would be going free with being his tooth knocked out, and then he's going to get compensated for the value of the eye, which is much more value than the teeth. So he likes that order. Now, the Nimtzu Zayman, then it turns out that they're really Edom Zayman. People tell them that another set of witnesses come along and say, you couldn't have said it, seen this, you weren't there that day. So the halach is, Meshalma Demei Ayin L'Rav. So they have to compensate the master for the value of the eye because of the reversal of the order, which is that he would have gone, they wanted him to pay more than the value of the teeth. They wanted him to pay the value of the eye, which is really the other order. So therefore, they have to compensate the value of the eye to the master. As the Gemara is going to explain this. Because, hey, Chedami, what's this case talking about? If the second pair of witnesses, who are mazin the first pair of witnesses, do not agree at Bechav L'Klal, that there was at all any wounding done from the master to the slave, meaning, if you read it literally, it sounds like there was a pair of witnesses saying something, that he first knocked out his tooth and then blinded his eye. And then the second pair of witnesses are mazim them, and they say, hello, you weren't there that day. What are you talking about? You guys are a bunch of liars. Now, if that's all they say, and they don't say anything regarding the master knocking and injuring his slave, which they mean to say that they don't agree at all regarding that of there being any wounds to the slave, rather they just say, iman ho'yisim, you were with us that day, and they don't say anything more, then how do we understand this, say, for the b'raisa? Then, this first pair of witnesses should have to pay to the master the entire value of the slave, not just the value of the eye that he wanted him to pay more than the teeth. He wanted him to lose the slave, which there's no testimony besides them saying that he injured a slave. So, if they were lying, they should have to pay what they were going to create a loss, which is the entirety of the evidence. So, Elipshita rather says, Abai, it's obvious, both sets of witnesses agree, of course, there was an injury. There was an injury that's going to set the slave free. But, and the gear says, is just that the second pair of witnesses reversed the order, which they're coming to support the master, to exempt him from the value of the eye, which is more than the value of the teeth. But, of course, they're agreeing that, yes, he did injure him and the slave is going to go free. More than that is also, as the Brice was saying, Vazminu, and also that they were mazim the first set of witnesses, saying that, wait a second, what you're saying, forget about that, you got the wrong order, but you guys, a bunch of lies, because you weren't even there that day, how could you have said that? And that's why they have to compensate the difference of the eye from the tooth, not the whole Eved, because even the second pair of witnesses agree to the Eved going free. The only thing that they were trying to make him lose was the higher value of the eye versus the teeth. Now, as Rashi points out, which this is the whole proof of Abaye, that it was told about only two sets of witnesses by the Seifa, and how do we explain that? Must be by Avchin Vazminu, and therefore he comes to say that could be the Reisha too, and therefore Rabbah has no Rai from the Reisha. So Rashi asks, what do you mean? Why can't you say over here in the Seifa, just like Rabbah said in the Reisha, where you had a different pair of witnesses that came before this pair that we're discussing here in the Brisa, and they said the opposite order. They said it was actually first that the master blinded the eye, and then knocked out the tooth. Then the second pair of witnesses say the other way. And then the third pair of witnesses come and mazim the second pair of witnesses. So then you would have a very simple halacha, which, yeah, they have to pay the demei ayin l'rav, because that was the difference that was between them and the first pair of witnesses. That would be just like how Rav said in the Reisha. So why is that a proof of a baya that's told by only two pair of witnesses, and therefore so too by the Reisha? So that says Rashi, if there would have been another pair of witnesses first, before this pair of witnesses. And then you had this pair, which is being discussed here in the Braisa, that said that no, first he had knocked out his teeth, and then he blinded his eye. Then, since there wouldn't have been a psak din based on their testimony, and the reason being is as follows, because we would actually have been paskening the halacha based on the testimony of the first pair of witnesses, because they're the ones that are requiring the master to pay the value of the teeth, which is included in the value of the eye, which the second pair of witnesses wanted to be mechayev the adon. In other words, when you have two witnesses that are contradicting each other, so they neutralize each other, but what's the common denominator that they both agree to? Meaning the guy wants to say this one that's being discussed over here, and had we said that there was a one before them, they would be what's called the second pair of witnesses, the mitzai. They would be saying, no, he has to pay the value of the eye. The first pair of witnesses would say, no, it's not true. The second thing was the teeth, and he only has to pay for teeth. So we can't be mechayvim the eyes because another one says the teeth. But even the ones who are saying eye, let's say they're worth $1,000, the ones with the teeth are worth $500. So now we say what's called bechlam masayim mana. So they agree that at least you have to pay him the lower value of $500. Now, whose psak, whose testimony, therefore, are we following? Essentially, it's the first pair of witnesses, not the second. So therefore, even if the second pair of witnesses would be huzam, you couldn't be mechayv then, make them liable for what they tried making the adin be mechayv for the eyes, because halacha is that there's no halacha of edim zayman to be liable until there's a gemar din based on their testimony. And here the gemar din is not based on their testimony, it's actually based on the testimony of the first pair of witnesses. And therefore, that's what Rabbi is proving, that you see from this seifa, according to the more simpler translation, that it's two sets of witnesses, and must be told by, like we just described, of Mepech v'Hazama, that not only are they mazin the first pair of witnesses, they also turn around the order. And therefore, so too says Rabbi, you could say the reish is told by such a case too. So therefore, again, that's this machlikas Rabbi and Rava. Do we have proof from this price or not? Regarding Rava's halacha of Chashu Tchilas Hazama, Abai says, no, there's no proof. But now, the Gemara explains, V'heichid Tami. Now, how do we explain both the Reisha, which we brought down in the previous stuff, and the Sefer, which we just quoted now? That is, since now, according to the way we're explaining with Abaya, that both cases are talking about with Mepech Ba'azama, and it's only two sets of witnesses, so how do we explain the Braisa? As the Gemara explains, Iduka Ma'achri Achayri Hani Basroi. If this later set of witnesses, again, the one that are mazon, the first pair of witnesses, and moreover, they switch around the order. If they say that what the first pair of witnesses got wrong is later, another, for example, let's say the first pair of witnesses say that on Sunday was when the incident happened. And then the second pair of witnesses say, no, it happened on Monday. And it was actually, so therefore, you couldn't have been there. And it was actually the opposite order. So on that, ask the Gemara, Akate de me'evid l'rav b'yishlumi. So then the first pair of witnesses should still have to pay the entire value of the slave to the master. And the reason being is because the chimechai v'lei l'gavra, when they wanted to make the master liable, Akate gavra lav b'chayuvuhu, the man, the master, still wasn't liable. In other words, when they were trying to make him liable from Sunday, that he should have to free his slave, at that point in time, he wasn't liable at all. And this was a question that we alluded to from Rashi on from the previous daf. Because according to the real testimony, the ones that are mazim them, they say, no, it wasn't on Sunday, it was on Monday. So therefore, a day earlier, they wanted to make the master lose the entirety of his slave. Because when they were coming to make him liable, he actually wasn't liable. Meaning, although the second pair of witnesses agree that, yes, his slave is going free. And therefore, we were assuming up until now, okay, so that's why they don't have to pay the Dmei Kuli Eved. And only the difference was they wanted to make more than what he had to, which was the eye versus the teeth. But that, the Gemara says, is not true. It's actually, if the second pair of witnesses were saying it wasn't on Sunday, it was on Monday, so then what they tried doing on Sunday was not just causing a loss of extra from teeth to eyes, it was actually the whole Eved, because he was not free on Sunday, it was only on Monday. So, Eldekom Akadmi Kedumi Hanibasrei. Rather, says the Gemara, and it must be that the second pair of witnesses were actually, that this that you were agreeing, they were saying actually happened before, meaning it wasn't on the day that you said, and it was in the reverse order, but actually it was before the day that you claimed it was. You said it was on Monday, it was actually on Sunday. So therefore, when the first pair of witnesses tried making him say what the order that they said, they're not making the loss of the slave, because that was already actually even before the date that they claimed. The only difference was the Demei Ayin, and that's what they have to compensate for, both for both cases, for whether the one of which one they were lying was either for the loss of the Eved or for the Adon. Now, another point the Gemara says, V'i deloy amad, and this is the point following that point of that Rashi had addressed, And if the slave didn't take his master, stand him up bedin in a court case, before the first set of witnesses came to say testimony, so then we still have this question. Akati demekuli ebud l'rav boish lumile. Then it's not true. It's not just the value of the eye that he should have to compensate to the master. He actually should have to pay the entirety of the value of the slave to the master because he's actually trying to make him lose his entire slave. Why? Because the master is still not liable. And the reason being is because if the master would want to, he could come to court, admit his guilt, and be exempt. The reason being is because there's a halacha called Maid B'Knas Zepater. If you admit to a halacha that's a penalty, even biblical halacha, you're going to be exempt. Now, the freedom of a slave when his master knocks at his tooth or an eye is a biblical penalty, is a knas. So, therefore, why are we saying that it's just the eye that he has to compensate? You just have to compensate for the whole entire slave, even if it was that it was ready beforehand. It doesn't make a difference because at that point when he came, there was no one that said anything to the contrary, and we would not have known anything. And even if we know, he could come and admit, even if the story actually happened beforehand. So the Gemara concludes, El da'amad bedin. Rather, it must be talking about that there already was once before a court case regarding these wounds that the master had done to his slave through other witnesses in another court at another time previously, which they had made the master liable to let his slave go at the compensator. But then they fled from the court case. Now, at this point in time, if the owner would come in front of us and admit what he had done, his admission would not help anything because he was already chayiv in the knas, already in the court. So, therefore, that question about, well, he's trying to make him the loss of the evidence, it's not true. That loss of the evidence was already in the courts already beforehand. But what we're discussing over here is that, so now the slave comes and brings his, and comes in the claims to the court, and he says, wait a second. He says that my master first knocked out my teeth and then blinded my eyes. Moreover, he says, I want you to court to know, I already actually took him to court once before. And the court paskin, they made him liable to pay, not only to let me free, but to pay for the value of my eye. And he brought these witnesses to verify that fact. That's the case that we're discussing. Now, then there came another set of witnesses, and they switched around the order, and they said, no. Not true. Yes, you had once taken him to court and they admitted to the fact that he had blinded your eye and you knocked out your teeth. But the order was first eyes, then teeth. And therefore the courts only made your master liable for the value of the teeth. Moreover, they say your set of witnesses that you brought, they couldn't have been there because at that day they were with us. So therefore, both in the case of the Risha and the case of the Seifa, regarding the value of the slave, they're not going to be liable for. And the reason being is because already from the first court, he already actually had been freed. It's just that this master had taken a hold of his slave in defiance of the first court's ruling. Now, however, it's regarding the value of the eye that they have to pay to the slave in the first case, in the Reisha, because it's the value of the eye, which it's regarding that he already had in his rights from the first courts, which that's what they were trying to side with the master in the order and trying to exempt the master from. In the case of the Seifa, they have to pay the value of the eye to the master. It's because regarding that they were trying to make him pay more than what the teeth, which was really the case, and they wanted him to pay falsely for the higher value of the eyes. And therefore, it's obviously talking about where the second pair of witnesses agree to the court case. It's just that they switch around the order. And again, because if not for that case, then since there's no witnesses on the first court case, then actually then they would have to pay the entirety of the slave. Because even if that was the claim of the slave that he had once had a court case, etc., etc., you have no verification. You only have your set of witnesses and their huzm. Must be why are they not paying for the whole value of the slave is because even the second pair of witnesses who, and again, there couldn't have been any admission from the master to free himself because that was already a court case years ago. You were already liable for that. You can't be Maid B'Knas anymore. You're already chayiv in it. And the second pair of witnesses, that are mazim, the first pair of witnesses, besides being mazim, them say, yes, we know that there was a court case. You're not going to be chayiv for Yazama on the value of the slave. But what you will be chayiv is for is that you're saying that it was with the eyes and actually it was really with the teeth, or the other way around, and you're going to be chayiv to the Eved or to the Adin, depending on which one it was. That's how we understand that with two sets of witnesses, how it is that he's only chayiv on the Demei Ayin and not for the value of the slave itself. Nothing more goes back to what was started this whole discussion of the Halacha of Rava from the previous daf. Amalei Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka l'Rav Ashi. He says, Dukyi d'Rava. The inference of Rava that he was saying this halacha that hakchasha is tchilas azamhi, that although he's already negated, his testimony is void because another set of witnesses are contradicting him. Still, when there's going to be azama, which generally azama is only if you would have been mechayev him, and you're not being mechayev him, but he says it's the beginning of azama, and therefore it's not like you can't have azama anymore, that it is, asks Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka to Rav Ashi meheicha. Which part of this b'raisa was it that he was trying to prove his point that you say hakchasha tchilas azama? And that is as Igmar explains. If you think it's from the Reisha, which that's how we had quoted on the previous daf, which Rava had said it's Toma that there's obviously, as we explained in the previous daf, in three sets of witnesses. And therefore you see that although there was one that said one way, the second one, which we called the middle one, said another way. And then the third one, are mazin the second one, which we say that they're going to be chai for hazama, which we explain this for only with the me'ayin. But that's in spite of the fact that they were hokhash already from the first pair of witnesses. And therefore you see hakachat chilas hazama, that's how we had explained it. On that asked Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka, but wait a second. Reisha mikom mischashi mitziyoy? Can you really say that that's the case? That it's that in that reisha that the middle set of witnesses have been contradicted to say Rava's halacha that oh, even though you see that part of them were already batal with hakasha and still that is going to be hazama. But on that he says kivin di iloy misazmi. Wait a second. Since if there wouldn't be hazama. Let's say there was no third set of witnesses that say to the second one, hey, how could you say that you're with us that day? The testimony would have been fulfilled like their testimony. In other words, the dina kavasai paskin. We would paskin the halacha like what they said because they said the lower value. In other words, the way Rav had described the ratio was that the first pair of witnesses said that it was teeth, then eyes. They come and say, no, it was first eye, then teeth. And that's why the masters are agreeable. They don't have to pay the lower one for the teeth. Now, actually, in halacha, if there was no third set of witnesses, that's how we would have followed. We would have followed their testimony, and the master would have only paid the value for the teeth. The reason for that is because since they contradict each other, so you can't do the higher amount, you can only do what's the yesh b'chla masai mana. In 200, there is 100. In other words, in the first witness's testimony, they were included in the second witness's testimony. Because, yes, eyes are 1,000, teeth are 500, so you can't be mechayev 100 because they're being 1,000 because they're being contradicted by the other ones, but 500 they both agree to. So therefore it says Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka hilchach kamayhu d'kumeschashi. It's only the first set of witnesses that are contradicted. Mitzioy lemeschashi midi. The middle ones are not being contradicted because what they are testifying is being followed through on, and therefore as Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka, and therefore maybe that's why hazama works with a third pair of witnesses because they're not being hilchish. But as Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ikka, in such a case, let's say when two witnesses say that he did murder and two witnesses say that he didn't murder, where there each one are being contradicted by the other one, and you're not going to murder the person, meaning in, let's say the first set of witnesses who are claimed that he murdered, there I would tell you that since their testimony is totally voided and we're not going to execute this guy, so then it won't help the halacha of azama. How could you, Rav, say that when you have a set of witnesses to say that he murdered, another one says that he didn't murder, and then a third set of witnesses come and say, how could you say he murdered you with us that day, then they get killed? But there, that's a total voiding of what they said. But the case of the Reisha is not avoiding what they said. We're actually following through on their halacha. So maybe that's why Hazama works. So Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to him, Rav Sava, Rav hold, you're right. And actually, the proof wasn't from the Reisha. But his proof was, from the fact that the Reisha is talking about by three sets of witnesses, because as we said, that's actually was the difficulty for Abaya, which Abaya therefore had to prove in the Sefer that's by two, therefore the Reisha is also by two, is because since the halacha had said it, the witnesses say, Sha'rei Rav Oimer Kain, because, and even the master says like this, which we had proved, obviously means to say that there was already originally a first pair of witnesses that wanted to make the master be liable for more than teeth, and actually make him liable even for the eyes. And they're saying, no, it's not for the eyes, only for the teeth. So, obviously, that there was a first pair of witnesses before them, and that's why they're second, and then there's a third one. Sefer Nami B'Shalosh. So, therefore, the Sefer is also with three sets of witnesses. V'dayik M'Sefer. And so, therefore, the inference of Rava is from the Sefer. Now, as Rashi explains, what's being addressed now here is, although it's not really possible that there was another set of witnesses that came before this set of witnesses that we're describing here in the Braisa, which was Abaye's whole proof that it's by two, and that's how he proved that the Reish was also by two, which again, Rav is going the reverse. He's saying that, no, he's proving the Reish is by three, and therefore the Sefer is also by three. That you couldn't say that, that there's a set of witnesses before, like you said by the Reish, because if so, that this first set of witnesses said that first he blinded his eye, and then he knocked at his teeth, and then you have this peer, which we're describing here in the Braisa, that said that, no, he first knocked at his teeth, and then he blinded his eyes, that in such a case, then they wouldn't be concluding the court, the halacha based on his testimony to give the value of the eye, because rather we would only be giving the slave the value of the teeth, because that's what he said is the common denominator of both of them. And since we're not going to be concluding the court, the halacha based on their testimony, so then, as we said before, then you can't be chayav hazama, these middle set of witnesses. So rather, explains Rava, that the third set of witnesses that are being mazim would be in the following order. It's where the witnesses that we're discussing in the Braisa were actually the first set of witnesses. Where two set of witnesses come along and they say, they say that the master first knocked out his teeth and then blinded his eye. Where they're trying to be mechayev in the higher value to pay for his slave. And they had the psak din, they had the judge, the court adjourned, and they said that he's going to be chayev, the master, to pay him the value of the eye. Now, then a second pair of witnesses come and say, so it's not before, as we were saying up until now, rather it's that they're coming afterwards. And they say, no, it's the other way around. First he blinded his eye, and then he knocked at his teeth. Where they are contradicting the first set of witnesses, and there is a true hakhash over here, because they're being mevatel the first pair of witnesses, edis, because their testimony was that he has to pay the $1,000 thing. And they're saying, no, it's only teeth, only 500. And that's going to be the halacha, where it's only going to have to pay the value of the teeth. So even though there's hakhasha and the nimtzu zayman kamoy, and then it turns out where then there's a third pair of witnesses that come along and they're mazin the first pair of witnesses, that's where the Braisa says the halacha is mishalma de me'ayin l'rav, that because again we're proving that it must be with three pair of witnesses, like the Reish is three pair of witnesses, and the only way of describing is the way we just described the three pair of witnesses, and still we see that the first pair of witnesses are going to have to pay the value of the eye to the master. Even though we said there was already hakhasha by the second pair of witnesses, so you see the hakhasha is tchilas hazama. So again, that was Rav's proof. Abaye refuted the other way around. He says the sefer is logical by two, so the Reish is also going to be by two. There were no rai because tomat with afchinu vazminu. And Rav is coming the other way around. He says that from the fact that the Reish is more logical by three, the sefer is also by three, and the view saying hakhasha is tchilas hazama. As the Gemara proves this. If you would entertain to say like Abaye that Hakash is not the beginning of Azama, I might mishal me. So then why are the first pair of witnesses going to have to pay for the value of the eye to the slave? They're already contradicted by the second pair of witnesses. Rather, that's the proof of Rava that obviously Hakash is the beginning of Azama and that you can still be Huzam even after you're already Hukash. Now, but Abaye, Amalach Abaye would tell you, no. It says, I could understand, where although Abaye did explain it in the case of Achinu Vazminu, it says, I could understand Rav at least, that he wouldn't want to say that the Reish is talking about less than three pair of witnesses. And because it was more logical like Rav, because the sentence of the witnesses saying that the master is agreeable really makes more sense like Rav, because it must mean that, what do I mean agreeable? You're the first pair of witnesses saying there was any chaval in the first place. You're freeing him. No, we're not freeing him. Actually, it was the first pair of witnesses that actually tried making you liable not just for freeing, but also for the eyes. We're saying it's only just teeth. So that would be agreeable. That makes sense. It was the first pair, then the second pair, then the third pair. But El Seifa Lomali, what Abaye says is that, well, why should I have to say this Seifa that talking about it in the contrived case of Shalish Kitas where there's three pair of witnesses? Because says Abaye, it actually is enough to say it with two sets of witnesses, as Abaye had explained it with Afchinu Vazmininu. Now, the Reisha, says Abaye, I could be saival that it's talking about the way it simply would be translated and makes more sense with three sets of witnesses, and that it's not afchinu, it's not that the third pair of witnesses that I'm being mazim are also doing the reversal of the order. But from there, as we pointed out, there's no raya, because regarding this case of the Seifa, which, why would you say that there's three sets of witnesses? Similarly, the same way you say by the Reisha. The Reisha, we proved that there's three sets of witnesses because Harav Oymekin, why is he saying like this? Oh, must be because the first set of witnesses that are not mentioned were trying to make it worse for him and they're making better. So seemingly you would say the same thing for the Seifa. Shareha Evedoy Mirkein, because this set of witnesses are saying, and even the slave says like this. What do you mean the slave says like this? Slave says like this? What do you mean they're making him take the lower value of the teeth and not the eyes? And then they're making him take they're saying that he's getting the eyes and not the teeth. So it must be, that there's a first set of witnesses that were saying it worse for him. They were saying that first it was the eyes, then the teeth. So you see seemingly that there was a set of witnesses before. And that says, Abai, no. Eved called the Humeimo Amar. Regarding a slave, anything that he says is going to be Ha'eved Oimerkain. Because the Nichale, the Nepik Lecheres, because it's preferable for him to go free. He doesn't care if it's the eye or the teeth. He doesn't care what the order is as long as he goes free. And therefore, there's no riot to say there was a set of witnesses before that were saying it worse off and they're saying it better. Because anything that they're saying is better. Because they're the only set of witnesses that are freeing him. And therefore, says Abaya, no riot to Rava for his halacha v'chasha tichlas hazamahi, because there's no riot from the Reisha. And the only riot would be, as Rav Adar Rava had pointed out, rather his whole riot would be from the Seifa, because there's three, here's also three. Says Abaya, no, there's no proof in saying three. There it makes sense, three. Here it's logical to say two. The only way you would say is because Hariya Eben Emerkin, that's no raya, because he'll say for anything he's excited for. He's getting freed, and therefore it could be there's only two sets of witnesses. And therefore it's not a case of a kasha tchilas hazama. Now, on that, the Gemara asks that Maskev l'Reb Zeir, this is going on actual the halacha of the price, regarding this that we said that, which again, we have different interpretations of Abai and Rav on the Braisa, if there's going to be a right to Rav's halacha or not, but the halacha was saying in either one, whether it's better for the slave or better for the master, that there was two things that were done. He knocked at his teeth and blinded his eye, and again, depending on the order, we said which one is the master going to have to pay for, but he goes free in the first one, and the second one is like a free man that he injured, he has to compensate him for. On that maskev l'Reb Zeir, so that halacha l'Reb Zeir asked, wait a second, Ema, we should say, Simes Einoi, if a master blinds the eye of a slave, says we continue to Amid Beis, Nepik Be'einoi, so that should free him by having his eye blinded. Let's say Hippolashin, let's say he knocked at his tooth, so Nepik Be'einoi, he should go out with his teeth. Simes Einoi Be'Hippolashinoi, let's say he blinds his eye and knocked out his teeth, Nepik Be'einoi Be'Shinoi, he should go free with the eye and the teeth, and therefore the Reb Zeir's question is, but he shouldn't have to compensate him for it. Because we know a slave goes free with it, who said that you have to? It's when he injures him, so if he's injuring both, so that will free him, but who says he has to compensate him for that? So on that, Abaya says, Olacha Makra. It's regarding you, your question, that the Pasuk says in Shemais, that when the master will hit Ein Avdoi, the eye of a slave, or the eye of his maidservant, so it says, he will send him free Tachas Einoi, in place of his eye, which the Diyak is, V'lei Tachas Einoi V'Shinoi. But it doesn't send him free for his eye and his teeth. And when it says tachashinai in place of his tooth, it's a really tachashinai ve'ene, it's not in place of his teeth and his eye. In other words, only for one that sends him free. But if he does two things, then they'll have to pay him like a regular free man for the monetary value that he injured him. Now, going back to the previous discussion, Amrav Idbar Oven, he says, Afana namatinina. We also actually learned in the Tanoik source, like this halacha of Rav, that hakasha tzchil sazama, he could have a zama even once there was already hakasha. And the halacha is from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ganava Pishnaim, if someone was verified that he stole something based on the testimony of two witnesses. V'tavuchu Marcha al Pihem, and moreover, those same two witnesses were the ones who testified that he slaughtered or sold that animal, to be liable then four or five times the amount. And then v'nimtzu Zayman, then it turns out that that pair of witnesses were actually Zaymanin, they were lying. So halacha is Misham alay sakal, so they have to pay for everything they tried incriminating him for even four or five times the amount. So on that says Rabbi Bar Avin, my love, isn't the case of our Mishnah talking about. The following order, the Idu ala Geneva, where first the witnesses had testimony regarding the theft. They said that this guy stole this thing on Sunday. V'chazavi Idu ala Tficha, and then they testified regarding the slaughtering that they said that he slaughtered this on Monday. Then, v'huzma ala Geneva. Then, this pair of witnesses v'huzim regarding the theft. Meaning on Tuesday, They were huzam regarding what they said happened on Sunday, and then on Wednesday they were huzam on what they said happened on Monday, meaning that would be the order. They testified that what he did on Sunday and then what he did on Monday, and then on Tuesday they were huzam on the geneva, and on Wednesday they were huzam on the second half of what they said on the tvicha mechira. Now says Ravi Bar Avin, now v'hakivin shehuzam al geneva, but once they're huzam on the geneva, so they have to pay kafel for that hazama. But legabi tvicha v'lehu mekroshin. So now regarding the second half of what they had testified on this person, that he also slaughtered it, they already refuted. Because you could only have tvicha mechira if you have Geneva. But once they refuted on, once they already Huzam on Geneva, so there's no Geneva anymore. They were liars on the Geneva. So what they said regarding Tvicha Mechira has no validity. It's already Hukash. And still, V'kutoni Misham Alei Sakol. And still, the Mishnah tells us that the second set of witnesses is to pay for everything, even for Dalad Vehei, even though already on Tuesday, they already Hukash on the Tvicha. Because again, since there's no theft, because they already Huzam on that day of what they said that he stole, so there's no Tvicha Mechira. And V'Sagadai Tvicha. And Hakrosh Lav Tchel Sazama, if you entertain to say not like Rava, that being refuted is not the beginning of Hazama. So Tvicha Maima Shaman. So why do they have to compensate? Why do they have to pay the Hazama of the slaughtering if they already were Hukrish? Allah Shmamina, Hakrosh Tchel Sazama. Obviously, you see like Rava that no, being refuted is the beginning of being Huzam, and therefore you could have Hazama even though you Hukrish. So nothing more says no riot. Ami, they said, Hachmai Skinner, what are we talking about here in the case of the Var Mishnah? It's Kagan Shahuzmu ala Tvicha Tchila. It's actually the other way around. They were first Huzam on the slaughtering. So, regarding that part of their testimony, their second half, they became liable in paying three times the amount, which is what's added on more than Kafel for the theft itself. But the testimony they said regarding the theft that they were in Huzam on, that still stands. Now, then they were Huzam and they became liable on the Kefil, which adds that three to the two and then became Chayev on all five. But you're right, if it was the other way around, then the Hakasha, which would have refuted the Tvicha, because it depends on the Geneva, would have disallowed the ability of Hazama. So the Gemara says, Ubeplukta, that in this Machlekes of Abai and Rava, of Eidim Shehokhushu Ulbasev Huzmu, of witnesses that were already contradicted, then later they actually even become Huzam, also disagree with Rebbechen and Rebbe Lazar. Where the same machlek is Charam and Arog, and one says that they still get killed, like Rava said, but Charam and Arog, and one says that they don't get killed, once they're Hukhish, you can't have a Zama, like Abayat said. So it says the Gemara, it says, time to Rebbe Lazar, who the Amei Inarogin. Let's bring a Rai, let's prove that it was Rebbe Lazar who is the one that said, like Abayat, that says that you can't get killed anymore. You said that he murdered, the other pair of witnesses he didn't murder, so you're already Hukhish, and another pair of witnesses, then a third pair of witnesses come and say, how could you say he murdered, you were with us that day? You don't get killed, because you're already Hukhish. Let's prove that was Rebbe Lazar, because the Amr Rebbe Lazar says, Eidim shehukhreshu benefesh, regarding witnesses that become contradicted regarding corporal law, regarding someone being killed, so they were just contradicted, but they weren't huzim, he said, that loikin. So the pair of witnesses that were caught, that were contradicted in what they said that he had murdered, so they get malchus. And what's the malchus? They get lashes for the Isra of Lysana. There's a prohibition of saying false testimony regarding your friend. They obviously lied because the other pair of witnesses contradicted them. So therefore, they get lashes. Now, and Rashi points out, although saying testimony has no action, it's just words, and generally there's no lashes on the lav she'im b'maisa, it doesn't have an action, that the Gemara brings in the beginning of Masechtas Malkus, that there is Malkus on Eidim Zayman, which is learned from the Pasuk Vitz Digres at Tzadik. So there is ability of false witnesses to get lashes even for the words that they said. That's Allah of Rebbe Lazar. Says the Gemara, V'isa g'daydech Rebbe Lazar hu da'am anef. You're going to entertain to say Rebbe Lazar is the one that says that if they afterwards become huzim, that then they're ruggin, that then they would get killed. So then, even when they don't become huzim, the question then becomes, am I loikin? And why would Rebbe Lazar say that they get lashes? Havalei lav. So then this would be a negative prohibition, meaning the negative prohibition of saying false testimony regarding someone else. Shenitin las horas mises bazin, which is given over to the ability of being warned about getting executed by the courts, which tells you don't do this, don't say the false testimony, so that the court shouldn't kill you, because if you could be killed by the false testimony that you're saying, which is hukhish, you could become huzim. That means to say what he's saying regarding the person that he had killed would actually make him, for his false testimony, through Hazama, getting killed too. And b'cholam shenitin lazar is mises bezin, any negative prohibition, which is the false testimony they're saying, that could be given over to the executed by the courts, the halacha is ain like in a lav. There is no lashes on it. The reason being is because the mises bezin is the punishment of the lav. Allah, rather, we can infer Shmaminah, Rebbe Lazar Huda Amma Eina Ragin, that it was Rebbe Lazar who had said that you don't get killed, Tistayim, you could prove from there, because if you would be able to still become Huzim, then it's Nit Lazar's Misen Bezin, then you wouldn't get Malkus for the Lav of Laisana when you become Hokish. Now, but the Gemara has a problem with this halacha of Rebbe Lazar we introduced to prove that he's the one that holds, like Abaye, that Eina Ragin, Laikin? The set of witnesses that become contradicted by another pair of witnesses, they get lashes for their false testimony? But Trey Ninu, it's two witnesses against two witnesses. My chaz is the Samkarahani. Samkarahani, where did you see fit to rely on the second pair of witnesses? Rely on these pair of witnesses. As Rashi explains, in other words, by Hazama, That's a chiddush of Gzeiras HaKasid that tells us that when the second pair of witnesses say that the first pair of witnesses could not have seen that they're with us, so that's where the Torah says that, okay, so you're going to have to, we believe the second pair of witnesses, which is a novelty, because what's two against two? But a chash is a regular contradiction. Okay, we're not going to paskin based on any one of them because we don't know who to follow, but why would that pair of witnesses get malchus? So the Gemara answers, Amar Baya b'baharid b'raglov. It's not just that they're contradicted by the second pair of witnesses, it's where the guy who they said was murdered, that this guy murdered, comes walking on his feet, where they're obviously, they were lying. So they obviously were even leisan b'rechei tshaker, and therefore that's the case that we're talking about, that they're going to get lashes. But you're right, just being contradicted wouldn't be mechayev them in lashes. But again, even if the guy was baharig b'raglov, even if Reb Elazar held like Rava that held that you could become huzim, you wouldn't get malchus for their false testimony because it's nitin lasar mizabez, and then you wouldn't get malchus. Obviously, holds like Abaya. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the Mishnayos of this parak of Geneva, of being liable for kefil of the theft when you're caught with it through witnesses, and dal vehei when someone takes a seh or a shayr and slaughters it or sells it. So the Mishnah tells us ganav al pishnayim. If someone, and here we're talking about the exemptions in the halach of Dal Vehei. So, if Ganav al-Pishnayim, if based on the testimony of two people, they verify that this guy stole, but Tavach u'Machar, but regarding the slaughtering and the selling, was only al-Pi Eidech, only one witness testifies that he saw him also slaughter it and sell it. Or actually, it was based on his own admission. He says, you're right, I stole it. Not only did I steal it, I even slaughtered it and sold it. So the halach is Misham Tishl Mikefil, so he'll have to pay the Kefil penalty, double the amount, because there were witnesses verified the theft. But ve'ein misham tishlum dal vehei, but he doesn't have to pay four or five times the amount when there's one witness, is because one witness cannot be mechayiv in the alpi shnayim edim yakum davar, and even based on his own testimony, because of based Allah of ma'ida b'knas pater, when you admit to a real biblical penalty of knas, but since you admit on your own, you're going to be exempt, so he doesn't have to pay for the tvicha mechira. Let's say gun of it, and this the rest of the mission is the contrast of the. What we call the Reisha and Daf Ayin, where there we said cases like this that you'd be chayiv. Here we're saying cases that you'd be pater. Gan v'tevach b'Shabbos. If he stole and he slaughtered on Shabbos, where there he's going to be exempt from the tficha, he's not going to be chayiv dal v'hei because it's what's called kim lebedrabmane for slaughtering on Shabbos, which is a malacha. You're chayiv for mises bezin. You're liable for the death penalty, so there you're not chayiv for the monetary penalty of dal v'hei. Well, let's say gan v'tevach avodah zarah. He steals and he slaughters for avodah zarah, which is also chayiv misa. For the slaughtering, for avodah zarah. Or let's say, and therefore he's not going to be chayiv dal vehei. Or ganav mishal aviv umeis aviv. Let's say he steals something, an animal from his father, umeis aviv, and then his father dies. Now, he's one of the inheritors of his father's assets. Then the achekach tavach umach, and then only after his father died did he slaughter or sell it, where that's not, as we taught previously enough, ayin beis amud aleph, to qualify for what's called utavachai, that he slaughters it, which means, say, the whole thing has to be a prohibited slaughtering. Here it's not, because part of it is his. He has part ownership. So again, that's why he's not going to be chayv in this case either on the dal v'hei of the tficha. Let's say gonav hikdish v'achkach tavach mocha. Let's say he steals something from somebody. Then it becomes kaidish, the makdish it. And then he slaughters it or sells it. Where when he's slaughtering it, he's only slaughtering hekdishes and not the owners. And that is also, as we explained in Afsan Echesim Abeis, where it's only by re'ehu and not by kaidish. So therefore he's not going to be chayv for the tficha mechira. So in all these cases, Misham Tishlumi Kefil, he has to pay for the Kefil, but the Ein Misham Tishlumi Dal Vehei, but he does not have to pay for, as we explained in each case, the four or five time penalty for the Tzvicha Mechira. Now, Reb Shimon, he says, the Gemara is going to explain on what part of the Mishnah is he going on, says, Kodshim Shechayev Bachar Yusim, regarding Kodshim, those sanctified things which the owner is liable for the responsibility, then regarding those things, Misham Tishlumi Dal Vehei, the Ganav has to pay for four or five times the amount. But when the owner is not liable for the responsibility, then he's going to be exempt from the dal vehei. Now, the Gemara asked regarding the first halacha of our Mishnah, al pi eid echad pshita, regarding the halacha when the theft was through two witnesses, but regarding the slaughtering or selling was only based on either one witness or the guy's own admission, so he said that he's going to be exempt from the dal vehei. On that, the Gemara asked, regarding the case when he himself admits. So that was necessary to say the halacha of Ma'id b'knas pater. When he admits to a penalty, he's going to be exempt. But the Gemara's question is, but when one witness testifies that he slaughtered or sold, what do we need the halacha for? We know that you need two witnesses to verify a fact. So what's the chiddush in saying that he's not going to be chayv dal vehei in that case? So Ami, they said, Hakam Ashmalan. This is the chiddush of the Mishnah. that we're coming to say both to compare them. Alpi atzmoi, when he admits it himself, we want to compare dumi d'alpi erecha, to compare it to when it's one witness who is saying that he slaughtered or sold it. Meaning, ma'alpi erecha, just like when it was based on the testimony of one witness. That you're right, one witness cannot be mechayvim. But ki asi eid echad mitzdarf bahadei mechayvim. When another individual witness comes and joined this first one witness and says the same thing, that said, yes, I saw he slaughtered or sold it, then based on both their testimonies, he would then be chayvim dal vehei. And the reason being is because Allah is like Ibshu ben Karcha, who he says in Masechet Sanhedrin of Lamed Aleph, that where if one witness has said something today, and his friend then comes on a different day and says the same thing, we listen to them and we combine them and make them into a set of witnesses. So just like over there, when witness comes at a later point, could combine and be mechayev him, even though when one witness came first, we couldn't have been. We need it for the comparison to say the same thing as when he himself admits to it. Where although when he admits to it, might be knasis pater, but ki also aid the mechayev, when witnesses ultimately will come at a later point in time, then he will be chayev in the dal vehei. And the chiddush in that is lafukim mid Rav Huna Merav. That comes to exclude from Rav Huna Merav had said. Am Rav Huna Merav. Rav Huna had said in the name of Rav, Moed b'knas va'achach bo eidim potter. He said that when someone admits to a penalty, let's say he says, I admit that I stole, I admit that I had slaughtered or sold it, where then witnesses come at a later point in time, you're going to be potter. So therefore, it's regarding that halacha that our Mishnah is saying, no, it's not like that. Actually, the halacha is that only when's the halacha might be knas pater? When witnesses don't come at a later point in time. But when witnesses come at a later point in time, that's where our Mishnah is coming to say, just like a pi erecha, that later witnesses could come and combine the mechayim, so to hear, later witnesses could come along and be mechayim, even though he was already ma'id b'knas. So the Gemara introduces and now goes through this whole halacha that we said our Mishnah seemingly is coming to contradict this halacha of Rav Huna Merav. Gufa, I'm Rav Huna Merav, ma'id b'knas of achach bo eidim pater. He says that this halacha of being admitting to a knas is not only when no witnesses come later. Even if witnesses come later, still, since the original admission was done by the person, he's going to be exempt from the knas even if witnesses come later. Now, on this halacha, Isvei Rav Chizla Rav Huna. Rav Chizla asked Rav Huna from the following braisa. Braisa says, Maisa B'Rim Gamliel, there was an incident with R'Rim Gamliel, Shesime Es Ayin Tavi Avdi. He blinded the eye of his slave, who his name was Tavi, blinded his eye. Was very, very happy. He was very rejoicing. Now, the reason being is because, as mentioned many times in Shas, his slave, Tavi, was a very upstanding, righteous, pious individual. And he desired to free him. The problem is, someone that frees his slave violates a positive commandment of Lo'il Mehem Tavaydu. So he couldn't free him. But he was so happy that now he blinded his eye because that frees the slave and now he's going to become free. So Mitzvah Rabbi Yeshua, he encountered Rabbi Yeshua, and Amaloi, he said to Rabbi Yeshua, Iyatu Yedea, don't you know, Shetavi Avdi Yotze Lecheres, my slave Tavi went free. Amaloi Lama, so Rabbi Yeshua said to Gamliel, why did he go free? Amaloi said to him, Shesemisis Ein, I blinded his eye. Amaloi, so Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Ein Bevarecha Klom, there's no validity in the words that you're saying, Shekva Ein Loi Eidim, because there are no witnesses. And the only way we know that this happened was based on your testimony. And based on Haidas Baldin, someone's Ma'id B'Knas, he's actually Pater. In other words, the Knas which frees him is only, we only know through your Haidah. Ma'id B'Knas is Pater. So therefore, he's not a free man. That's what it says in the Braisa. So on that, as Rav Chizit Rav Huna, now, from the words of Rav Gamliel, it sounds like, because he says, because there isn't yet any Eidim. Now, Hayesh Le'Eidim, but it sounds like that if there were Eidim who would come after Rav Gamliel's admission that he had done that, that chayiv, that Rav Gamliel would be then liable, which he was happy about, and would free his slave. So v'shemina minah, so we hear from this price, that moed b'knas v'achach bo eidim chayiv. We see that if someone admits to a knas, which is what he's admitting, he blinded his slave's eye, and then witnesses come after that, then they would be chayiv, not like you're saying, that's moed b'knas v'achach bo eidim is potter. So Amalei, so Rav Huna responded, he says, no, Shan Rav Gamliel, that case Rav Gamliel is different. D'loy b'fnei bezdin oidi. It's not considered in halacha a ma'id b'knas, because that has to be in court. When you're ma'id b'knas, then you're pater, and then even if witnesses come later, you'll be exempt. But here, he didn't admit in court. He just was talking, shmoozing with his friend, and he's saying, you know, this is what happened. So therefore, that's not ma'id b'knas. So therefore, yes, of course, not going to free his slave, because what you're saying is only you, and you, even in court, wouldn't work. But if they came later in court, the witnesses, then they would be able to be mechayev him, because it wasn't the ma'id b'knas, v'achach bo'edim, because that's only if you admit in court. Now, that the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Shua av bezdin havu. Rabbi Shua was the head of the courts. What do you mean he wasn't made in Bezin? He was made to Rabbi Shua, who is the Av Bezin. So the Gemara says, as we continue to have a Hayim and Aleph, Shalai Bezin Habakoi. Their discussion was not in court. They weren't sitting in court, and at that time he told them what happened. They were just in the marketplace, and they were schmoozing with him. That's why it wasn't Haidah B'Knas, and that's why he could still be Chayv through the Edom. By that, the Gemara asks, by the time we're learning another Bryce that says that Amaloi, Rabbi Shua said to Remuliel, in Berecha Klom, there's no validity in your words. Shekvar Haidisa, because you already admitted. Now, that sounds like you already admitted that it's too late. Sounds like even if witnesses come after this, nothing we can do about it, you're still going to be putter from the Knas, and you're not going to be able to free him based on the blinding of the eyes. So says the Gemara, my love Tanai. So isn't it seemingly this as a machlekes tanum between these two brises? And that is, hi Tana, the Tana, the first brise, the Omar that said, Shekvar in Lucha Edim, that had quoted Rabbi Shua as telling Rabbi Gamliel that there isn't yet any Edim yet. Savor, he obviously holds, Maid B'Knas V'Achir Bo Edim is Chayiv. They hold, not like Rav Huna, that even if he admits the Knas, but then later on witnesses come, that then you would be Chayiv. But the other brice that says, oh, that you already admitted holds, yes, that holds like you. But seemingly it's not like everyone like you. Seemingly it's a machlekes tanaim. Seemingly the first brice disagrees with you. So that answers Rav Huna Loi. No. Everyone holds like Rav, that we're, if he admits to the knas and then witnesses come, he's still going to be potter. But it's regarding this that they disagree. High time, the time of the first brisa holds, as we said, the Amar Shekvar in Lucha Edim, that is said that, but you don't have witnesses yet. Savi he holds, as we answered, Chutz LeBezin Hava. That because their encounter took place out of court. And therefore there was no court Haidah to say that witnesses are not going to work, and that's why witnesses would work. But Vahach Tana, the Amar Shekvar Haidisis Hava, the time of the second brisa that said, but you already admitted holds that LeBezin Hava is in court. You already admitted. Maidu Kenaz, V'achav Bo Edim, is part of the Nibir. There's no refutation of this opinion of Rav Huna Marav to say, again, besides as we mentioned from our Mishnah, but from these two brises, they could work out like Rav Huna Marav Salacha, that Maidu Kenaz, and even V'achav Bo Edim, is still going to be Potter.